Hello there, friends! Welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a podcast dedicated to presenting Philippine folklore as well as other Asian legends. If you are into topics like Philippine folklore and other Asian legends, then please follow us on our social media platforms to be updated with the latest episode each week. Hi! It's me, your host Ethan, and welcome to Episode 5 of Season 7. Hope you had a nice week, friends! I hope you're all doing safe, and thanks for making Tabi Tabi Podcast a part of your day. I appreciate you. If you don't know yet, I recently uploaded the April exclusive content on Patreon about the different type of agimat or anting-anting. You can listen to it for $5 under the Multo tier. I've uploaded 13 exclusive episodes that I won't be releasing to the public, so if you'd like to support the podcast and listen to the exclusive episodes, then head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod, and for the amount of $2 or $5, you can have early access to ad-free episodes, exclusive updates, and more. So, join us and check the tier that fits your interest. And as usual, before we proceed with the topic for today, you know the drill. A massive thanks and shout out to the wonderful people on Patreon under the Multo tier. Stephanie E, Terence E, Genji, and Christina N. For the Tao tier, a huge thanks and shout out to Veronica R, Michelle G, Jordan, Lee, Mona, her daughter Luna, Carl, Bonkers, Vitan A, and Saint Peaches. Thank you so very, very much for your support, and I hope you like the benefits of your current tier. And lastly, shout out and massive thank you to Yossining for the artwork on today's episode. Thank you so much, Yossi. With that said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Today, we'll discuss the Iki, a creature from the Tagalog folklore. The Iki, sometimes written or spelled as IKKI or IQUI, is a manananggal-like creature found primarily in human populations on Luzon. The Iki is a normal person during the day, but at night it turns into a winged beast that flies through the neighborhood hunting for food. Although both manananggal and Iki self-segments, the difference is that unlike the manananggal, which separates from the lower half of its body at the waist, the Iki separates at the knees, leaving only the lower legs and feet when it flies off. Oh, did you forget? The verb segment means to divide into distinct parts or sections, so this means they can separate themselves. So, the manananggal can separate from the waist and the Iki can separate from the knees. Moving on. They frequently put forth a terrifying cry that sounds like krr, krr, krr when in flight. Iki raids residences in Quezon province, preying on sleeping occupants or attacking tourists, slicing their bodies open and stealing their hearts and liver. It is said that the Iki lives only on men's liver, meaning they only eat men's liver. And that when they come out at night, they station themselves on the roofs of the houses from which they kill sick people with a tongue so fine that it can hardly be distinguished, resembling a thread of cotton, and which penetrates the bowels of their victim, causing death. The method they use to extract the livers, unfortunately, is not explained. And that's all there is to it. That's all the information I can find about the Iki. So I guess that's the end of the episode, right? I'm kidding. Because this has become a rather short episode, I decided to go ahead and add more self-segmenters in this episode. So as usual, this will be just a brief description or episode about them, but I hope you enjoy. You may be wondering now, why don't I just tell you everything there is to know about the creatures I'll present today? Well, the short answer is that I want to do more research on them before presenting them to you individually. That way, we can highlight and concentrate on a single creature. Unfortunately, the majority of the creatures in Philippine folklore have only a few details about them, so maybe someday I'll just compile those ones, you know? Let's start again. We know about the Manananggal and Iki, right? So why don't we move on with the hubot of the Western Visayas? Now, according to Philippine spirits, the hubot is a variant of aswang that it's also a self-segmenter. Unfortunately, I can't figure out which part of the body they are detached from. But they are classified as self-segmenters, or they were written as self-segmenters according to Philippine spirits. Nonetheless, an eyewitness described this creature as looking like flying umbrellas from a distance. How so? It appears that when they fly, their wings, which are somewhat concave in shape and wide enough to cover their entire body, appear to be an umbrella from afar. Their skin is pitch black and they fly like birds but with leathery bat-like wings. Next, we have the Wubug of the Visayas. A self-segmenting viscerous sucker with an appearance similar to the Indonesian Penanggal. It splits at the neck and the wingless head flies away with its entrails dangling in the air, leaving the body behind. This creature, unlike the Penanggal, is not exclusively female. Then there's the Unga-Unga of the Negros. Unga-Unga is described the same way as the Wubug of the Visayas, so my guess is that they are the same creature but were given different names in each region. So the same with the Wubug, they can split at the neck and the wingless head flies away with its entrails dangling in the air, leaving the body behind. Let's move on to Sambales and talk about the Boroka. This creature, according to Philippine Spirits research, in both appearance and habits, Zambales informants described the Boroka as a true viscera sucker. Why? Because of its physical beauty and the ability to detach the lower portion of her body about midnight before going out on a raid. They go out on raid in the form of a bird, returning with the hearts and livers of her victims before dawn. Last on the list, we have the Magkukutod of the Kapampangan. A self-segmenting flyer in Kapampangan folklore that resembles the Manananggal in appearance is what they call the Magkukutod. Its only distinguishing feature is that it lays eggs that, when cracked open, contains human body parts and organs. It also has a habit of digging up freshly buried cadavers and cooking them at home. And unfortunately, same with the hubot, I don't know which part of the body they separate from, so that's a mystery for now. And that concludes the fifth episode of Season 7. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. I still hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. Thankfully, I was able to introduce a few self-segmenters we have here in the Philippines. I will try to get more information on them soon and revisit this episode to give an update. And hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. And if you want to help support the podcast financially, you can also do that while also getting cool benefits. Please head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod, and for as little as $2 or $5, you can gain early access to ad-free episodes, listen to Patreon-exclusive content, and more. Once again, thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast with me, Ethan. See you next week for the third episode of Call of the Orient. Bye!